Arat HaTorah, Part 4. The way Rav Kook discusses what, for so many of us, it's just like the day-to-day part of being Jewish. Of course, there's the Tanakh, there's the Hebrew Bible, there's the Oral Law, the Talmud, the Gemara. The way he phrases things and imagines things is so different from the way most of us were ever taught or ideas that we were ever exposed to. The Oral Torah is nourished secretly from heaven, but overtly from earth. What does that mean? Obviously, the Oral Torah emanates from the written Torah. Okay, so that's part one. But there's a connection to the written Torah, so that's the heaven side of things. And overtly from earth, it's the effort of the Talmidei Chachamim, of the Torah scholars, as they implement those earthly, so those heavenly principles into everyday life, translating the concepts found in the Torah into practical application for how we are meant to be living. Such a beautiful way to think about what seems so familiar. Now, the Oral Torah is more perfect when our national situation changes. So we've had years of exile and we've studied, but what if we studied? We've studied the practical elements, really. Yes, there have been those who have studied sections of Talmudic law that deal with korbanot, sacrifices, and temple times, and the agricultural laws are there in the Jerusalem Talmud to be studied. But the truth is that the oral law is in full force. It's stronger, it's more vibrant, more dynamic. When the land of Israel is built, and the Jewish people are living in it, organized with all of its institutions, the temple and the monarchy, the priesthood and prophecy, judges and court officers, and everything that goes with that. Only then will the Oral Torah be alive in its magnificent splendor, because it has so much more to deal with. In our limited, narrow confines of exile, the limited sense of being Jewish, which for most of us is just what being Jewish means. We've forgotten the national element. We've forgotten this grandiose vision of we're a nation on the world stage. And every aspect of our lives is not compartmentalized like a plug to plug ourselves into a bit of Judaism on a Saturday morning and, you know, hang out with Jews. But every aspect has halachic significance and Torah significance. When that happens, then the oral law is expansive and great. Only then will the oral law be alive in its magnificent splendor. It will flourish and bloom, fully integrating with the written Torah, because so much more of the written Torah will be applicable. And then you need the oral tradition to explain to us how we carry those out. During the exile, the twins were separated, the Torah from heaven and the oral Torah. The written Torah ascended to the heights of its holiness, while the oral Torah plummeted to the deepest depths. Meaning that the scope of the oral Torah became severely curtailed because there was so much less to talk about. But nonetheless, even in the exile, the oral Torah is secretly nourished by the light of the written Torah. There is still that connection, of course, and that relationship exists. And it preserves it, but in a limited state. Every day, the Oral Torah continues to descend and decline until the daybreak of Israel's national rebirth. At that time, a vibrant light will emerge from the storehouse of eternal redemption. Israel will prosper. The nation will be planted on its soil and will thrive in the beauty of its institutions. That's when we thrive. Then the Oral Torah will begin to flourish from the depths of its roots, ascending higher and higher because there's so much to get its teeth into. And the light of the written Torah will shine its rays through the light of the Oral Torah. And our sense of Torah will be magnified. With the restoration of Israel's national life in our homeland, the Oral Torah will once again flourish. It will almost as if it realizes its full potential as it implements all the ideas into the realm of individual and national life. B'ezrat Hashem, a bit more tomorrow. Chodesh Tov, have a very good day.